Well, we spent the summer looking at sports and the Bible. And, of course, there really aren't many sports in the Bible. There's no baseball, there's no football, there's no soccer, there's no basketball. Really, there's only one sport that shows up time and time again in the Scriptures. And that is Olympic-style games. And I say Olympic style because the Olympics weren't the only game in Greece. Then, as now, the Olympics happened every 4 years. But on the other years, there were Olympic style games as well in other cities. The Olympics are named for Olympia, where they were held. But on the year before the Olympics and the year after the Olympics, the games were held in a city called Corinth. And that name might ring a bell with you, because that's where the Apostle Paul spent 18 months doing missionary work, found in Acts 18. And he also wrote two letters to the church there, to the people of Corinth, and they're called 1st and 2nd Corinthians in our Bible. And I don't know why, but they don't call them the Corinthics. They called them the Isthmian Games, which is a lot harder to say. But the kinds of competitions they had were the same as the Olympics for the most part. There was foot racing, and there was boxing, and there was wrestling. There was equestrian events, and there was a mixed martial arts competition called the Pancration that was so brutal that often the loser died, and sometimes the winner did too. So That was the games, although in Corinth they had a couple of extra events that weren't at the Olympics. They were events in singing and poetry. Now imagine getting an Olympic gold medal for poetry or for singing. But of course, we've added our own new events to the Olympics over the years. The 2020 Olympics in Japan were supposed to start this week. And there were some new events lined up for the competition this year. Now, of course, because of COVID, it got moved to next year. And so the 2020 Olympics will be held in 2021, although they'll still be called the 2020 Olympics because they spent so much making merchandise and everything with 2020 on there. So the 2020 Olympics will be held in Japan in 2021. And new events this year are skateboarding, surfing, and rock climbing. So maybe Olympic singing isn't quite that odd. Anyways, Paul knew these Olympic games. He knew these games and how the athletes prepared for them. And he uses that as an illustration for his own life, of how he wants to live his life, and also the call that he has for us. So we're going to read from one of his letters to begin with. The first letter to the Corinthians, and in the 9th chapter, he says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." You see, these Olympic-style games, they weren't fun runs. Nobody says, "Hey, there's an Olympics in town. Why don't we join the race and maybe we can get a free T-shirt?" It's not how it works. If you're going to be an Olympic athlete, then you need to work and you need to strive, and you want to go for the gold. You go for the gold. You want to win. You're in it to win it. And in Paul's day, they didn't have a silver or bronze. They only had one winner. Only one got the prize, that he, as he says right here. Each year at my in-law's cabin, they would hold family Olympics, and each of the families would compete against one another. And one year, my brother-in-law made shirts for everybody, and of course, they had the Olympic seal for everybody, but then the slogan on them was from the Talladega Nights movie that said, "If you ain't first, you're last." And that's the way it was in Corinth. You were either first and won the prize, or you missed out. There was no other. If you ain't first, you're last. So he continues. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Again, you don't just go to the Olympics and casually enter. You dedicate your life to competing and to training. Now, what in your life have you ever wanted so badly that you're willing to give up what those Olympic athletes give up? What in your life have you ever wanted so badly that you would invest your time in it, your money, your comfort, your freedom, your family, maybe even your own body in order to attain it? You know, right now there are professional sports starting back up. And in some of those sports, in order to compete, they have to live in a bubble. The Minnesota Wild is in a bubble in Canada. The NBA and professional soccer are in bubbles down in Florida. And if you're an athlete in those situations, you have to give up your freedom. You can't just go out, do the things you want. You can't be with your family. You can't do what you want to do. All you can do is train and compete. Now, why does that seem reasonable to us? Or at least to them? It's because it's worth it to win the prize, to win the Stanley Cup, to win the NBA championship, not to mention their salaries, which are nothing to sneeze at. They're willing to give up so much of what their normal life would be in order to compete. And the athletes in Corinth, they were doing the same thing. And what were they competing for? They weren't competing for millions of dollars or even a Stanley Cup. They were competing for a wreath. No gold medal. Just a wreath, a crown of foliage. In the Olympics, it was a crown of olive leaves. But in Corinth, in the early years, it was a crown of celery. Then later they upgraded to a crown of pine branches. But that's what they were sacrificing and working for, to win that crown. And Paul says, imagine all the work and the effort and the training. Imagine everything that they give up. And for what? A crown of celery. But we Christians, we have something far greater in store. We have eternal life. We have blessings that last forever from Jesus. So why wouldn't we want to work and train as Christians even more than those athletes? Paul says it's worth it. It's worth it for us. No celery for us. We have a crown that lasts forever. The blessings of Jesus. And if you've ever been on a mission trip, you kind of know what Paul's talking about. Mission trips aren't easy. I've been on mission trips from the Spirit Lake Reservation, North Dakota, down to Mexico and Valley Los Palmos and many places in between and other countries as well. And those mission trips are usually some of the most grueling weeks of my year, some of them in my life. Down in Mexico, we were working at an orphanage, and it was out in the country, and they supported themselves by raising olives, and they had an olive processing plant. And we went down there, and we would teach the kids with Vacation Bible School, and we would work in the orchard, and we did some demolition and repair. So we were swinging sledgehammers in that brutal Mexican summer sun. And the food was as basic as it could be. We had to sleep on the ground out in the olive orchards. And in spite of all that, it was one of the most rewarding times of my life. It was worth it. Even though I still carry some of the scars from playing soccer with those kids on the gravel, it was worth it. But you don't have to go to Mexico. You don't have to go to North Dakota or some other country in order to experience that in your life in Christ. Because when you sacrifice to come on a Sunday morning or a Monday or to watch, when you give up your time to worship God, it's worth it. And when you give up your time to serve others, it's worth it. When you give generously, it's worth it. When you study the Bible and you train in spiritual things, it's worth it. When you feed the hungry, it's worth it. Paul knew it. Paul knew it more than probably anyone, because he'd given up more than we ever will. He'd experienced more hardships for his faith than anyone will have, and yet he boasts of them. He says in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says this: 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. And he says, and if I must boast, I will boast of these things that show my weakness. And later he says, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul knew. Paul knew that all that he'd given up for the sake of the gospel was worth it. And all that he was going through was worth it. Because the reward is not a gold medal or a crown of celery. The prize is the blessing of Jesus. In Philippians 3, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is past and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal, towards the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so he finishes his illustration about the Olympic-style games in this way. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul says, it's worth it. So not only does he endure all of the effort, the training, the sacrifice, but he keeps focused on the goal. He keeps his focus on the goal. In the 4th Modern Olympics in London in 1908, there was an Italian marathon runner, Durando Pietri. And he was in the lead. In fact, he had a huge lead in the marathon, but he got so exhausted and so dehydrated that he began to lose his senses. And he began to wander off from the course. And the officials got a hold of him, and they poured stimulants into him. This is back before they had drug tests in the Olympics. And they literally picked him up and pointed him in the direction of the goal. And one fellow even had to push him for a while from behind. It took him 10 minutes to, quote, run the last 350 yards. But he crossed in first place. He won the prize. He reached the goal. But unfortunately, after all of that, he wound up being disqualified because the officials had helped him. And Paul says, I don't want to be disqualified. You don't want to be disqualified. So stay focused. No aimless running, no shadow boxing. Stay focused on the gold. What about you? Is your faith worth it? Is your faith worth the effort, the training, the struggle? Paul says it's worth it. Earlier, I had asked you if there's anything in your life that you wanted so badly that you're willing to sacrifice for it. Maybe even give up some of your freedom, your time, your money, your effort. Is your faith one of those things? Is your faith one of the goals that you have? Then stay focused. Stay focused, said Paul. Keep your eye on Jesus. Go for the gold. Press on. Now, before we wrap up, I need to just say one more thing, because I don't want to steer you the wrong way. You might think of all this talk about one winner and going for the gold and all the things that Paul says he does to keep focused. You might think that his message is, do it for yourself. Do it for your fame and your glory. It's all about you. Focus on yourself and don't worry about others. But if you read where he puts this in his letter, it's in the midst of three chapters that he's talking about using our freedom as Christians for the sake of others, so that they might win the same prize as we do, so that they might be saved, so that they might know Christ. And so he uses this illustration not as a way to say, yeah, go for the gold and don't worry about anyone else. And sometimes in our modern day, we think maybe the athletes are thinking that way. It's all about themselves. It's all about the endorsements, the contracts they can sign after they win. Not so much about their country anymore. But Paul says, as Christians, yes, we each have our own race to run. And there's a prize waiting for each of us. But it's not just about us. We also have the team around us. There are those others that also need to cross the line and experience victory in Christ. And he says, so that's why I train, that's why I work, not just for me, but for the sake of all those others that God has put around me. Because real victory is not just if you cross the finish line. It's that you cross the finish line with all those others that God wants you to reach. So this week there's probably 1,000 things that you could do. And you're going to have to make lots of choices. And Paul would say, when you make those choices, choose the ones that have eternal consequences. Choose the ones that really matter. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Run the race that he's given you to run, because the prize is worth it. And run it not only for yourself, but run it for your teammates. Run it so they too can win the prize of life with Christ. And it'll be worth it. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we don't have any Olympics to watch this week. You have to wait a whole nother year. That's a small sacrifice. But sometimes you ask us to give a little more. Maybe you ask of our time to be in worship, to be in service. Maybe you ask of our resources, or even our body, to use it to bless someone else. Those are harder. But Lord, we know it's worth it. It's worth it to follow in your footsteps, the race that you have already laid out. And so, Lord, this week, help us to invest in the things that matter. Help us to invest in the things that yield not just celery, but that yield life with you, for us, for the whole team.